Welcome back to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.
That's right. Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box. I'm your host, KG Smooth. So tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote. And I have two individuals in here that's going to help me get the word out to you and everything that you need to know about voter registration and the importance of it. In the studio with me is attorney Danny Norris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. Very
good. And I also have Miss Carol Douglas. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. And good morning to everyone in the listening audience.
So let's get a brief little history of you two. Miss Douglas, first, give a little background of yourself. For the city of Houston?
Thank you. I'm an attorney in private practice here, but my background is nonprofit and community advocacy. I headed up the NAACP here for close to 10 years, and that was some of our most active years during that time. And then I went to the national level, responsible for five states, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, New Mexico, and Louisiana. And I was pleased to be able to work with the NAACP on the national level to put together one of the most assertive, aggressive, and effective national voter mobilization and empowerment plans. And many people may remember in the year 2000, we had record turnout in all of my states and across this nation. And we came down to a very dramatic end of that presidential race because we had such a wonderful voter turnout. And that's what I'm hoping to work with our illustrious president, Danny Norris of the Houston Lawyers Association, as we collaborate with other groups and persons across the community to mobilize voters.
That is awesome. And Danny, give us your background.
Well, as Carol mentioned, I'm the current president, the 2014-2015 president for the Houston Lawyers Association, which is the African-American Bar Association for here for the Houston area. We are going on our 60th year. We were founded in 1955. At a time where actually Houston lawyers, black lawyers specifically, had very little tolerance. Our founders actually came together because there was a one chair rule down in Harris County where there was a one chair for black lawyers. And basically, they got to the black lawyers' cases at the very end of the docket. So basically, black lawyers have to wait all day to get to their cases because they were given the very last priority with regards to anything. So our organization was founded and has been around for going on 60 years this year. And our big initiative this year with the new all the new voter ID laws and things like that is to have a big voter initiative because most people don't think about it, but lawyers depend on voters probably more just other than politicians. They affect lawyers the most because judges are elected. The juries are pulled from voting pools. You have the laws that we have to work with are all due from our representatives. So it very much affects what we do on a daily basis. So especially for those of us who are in the African American community, when people get have a bad running with the criminal justice system, a lot of it has to do with the results of what happened in the election, the previous
right.
election. So
absolutely,
we definitely want to make sure that this election does not make our clientele in a worse position than they are currently.
Absolutely, that is our hope.
Yes,
let's. Could you explain or clear up this new voter ID law that has come into effect? Because it seems as though, they're just trying to disenfranchise, people in the African American and Latino community. Clear that up. And what is it exactly and what is needed for one to register to vote?
Well, under the law, you definitely need identification and it has to be government issued identification in order to vote. But we don't want voters to be intimidated by that. Don't let that turn you away from the polls. Most of you have your identification. You have your Texas driver's license. Mm-hmm. Some of you have your CHL, concealed handgun licenses. Some people have the official personal identification card that was issued by the DPS. Those kinds of identifications, along with military identification, certificates of citizenship, an election ID certificate that's issued by DPS, any and all of those will suffice, as well as many of you who are travelers, you have your passport.
Yes.
Those pieces of ID are accepted at the polls. Now, when you get there, people may also say, well, where's your voter registration card? You don't necessarily have to have that. You do have to have these government-issued IDs, but not necessarily your voter registration card, because many people may not keep up with that.
Right.
But there are a lot of efforts to really frustrate people and turn them away from the polls. So there are some people there who are bullying and harassing people, saying you need this, you need that. What you really need is your identification. If they tell you for any reason that you cannot vote, you insist on voting anyway. That may be a challengeable ballot, and you have the opportunity to bring down whatever information they say you need. Do not leave that polling place without voting.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the pieces of ID.
At minimum, very least, whether you have the ID or not, you can actually vote provisionally.
Yes.
At minimum. So, yeah, like Carol said, do not leave the poll without having at least done a provisional ballot. And a big issue with this upcoming election is that a lot of people haven't been trained. The training is not necessarily consistent around the state. So there are a lot of people who are going to be working the polls who are not as, and people are still going to maybe think that you're going to need a registration card. So it's going to be an interesting election, to say the least. So we want to make sure that people know when you walk into the poll, have your government issued ID. You do not need your registration card, because sometimes they may ask for it. They may ask in error saying that you need it, but you do not need your registration card. As long as you have your government issued ID, you will be able to vote a standard ballot. If you do not have your ID, you can do a provisional ballot, but do not leave without voting. But if you have your government issued ID, you can do a standard ballot.
And Danny, of course, appropriately so, as president of Houston Lawyers Association, he is kindly diplomatic by saying that people may be lacking the proper training at the polling place. I have to say that my background is civil rights advocacy and, where necessary, civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that people are not inadequately trained. They have been trained to turn people away from the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're asking you is definitely make certain that you vote. As Danny said, even if you get to the polls and you've forgotten your state-issued ID, you vote anyway. They must, under the law, give you a provisional ballot, and then you're given a certain amount of time to take that appropriate ID down to the clerk's office. So we're asking you to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We're also in this push. The last day to register to vote, of course, is tomorrow,
yes.
Monday, October 6th.
Yes.
So there's still time for people to register and vote, and we want people to find any and all lawful means to be able to get registered to vote. We are still pushing through. A number of us got deputized to register voters. You have to be deputized to register voters. That's another barrier they put in place to make it more difficult for other people who are already registered to help other individuals get registered. So you can disseminate voter registration applications, but you can't take them back and turn them in for somebody if you've not been deputized to vote, unless it's your child or your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to push that even if people don't get registered by October 6th so that they could vote in the November 4th election, we're asking people to register anyway, because we always have other elections coming up. And we want to work diligently on the reenfranchisement of those who have completed their time in the criminal justice system and they're off paper. That's
okay.
Another area that people are being harassed and intimidated to say, oh, you can't register. If you have done your time and you are what we call off paper, you are eligible to register to vote. And we're asking everyone who's in that population to register to vote. We have made some strides and gains, but just as Charles Dickens says, these are the best of times. These are the worst of times. We are losing ground. I mean, just since May, we've had close to 20 African-American males inappropriately shot down by police. And that is statistically impossible to be a coincidence, statistically.
Right. Right.
So you know that there is a move that in this day where we're to experience freedom, there's a move to put an oppressive type of enslavement over us where we're fearful to even walk the street, let alone to push for our rights to vote and to have persons elected who will represent the interests of all of us, not just a select few.
Absolutely. So to clear up, because there, I know that there are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to being able to register to vote or being able to vote for that matter, a felon. So as you said, you know, if someone is has a felony and they are off paper,
right,
they can vote. They can register to vote and they can vote.
And we need them to, because they, unlike many other individuals, they saw a lot of the injustices from their own cases. Some of them who didn't get appropriate representation because the judge who is elected or appointed by someone who is elected may be given his friends who don't look like the accused, maybe giving his friends the appointments to represent those who can't afford their own attorneys. So they saw the injustice, how they were not given adequate representation. They saw how they were mistreated while they were in the criminal justice system, in the prisons, in the jails. So they know even more than some of us who've never been to jail. They know why it's important for them to exercise their vote to elect good judges, not corrupt judges, not judges who are accepting things under the table. And, you know, we have federal judges and district judges who are serving time in prison now for doing wrong things. We've got to take those people out of office who are corrupt and who are misaligning justice sitting on that bench. I've had a run in with a federal judge myself, and I've taken him to task, and I will continue to do so. They have lifetime appointments, but there are people who are elected into office who could impact whether those judges with lifetime appointments are appropriately disciplined, and they should be. And then those who are on the district and the county level, those in the JP, they are elected. If they know that there are people who are watching them, holding them accountable, and if they engage in misconduct, they will be voted out. They will act more judiciously. So we want people who are off paper to empower themselves and register and vote, and not just vote for those who look like you.
Right.
But those who do what is in the best interest of those who look like you, because not everybody who looks like you is for you. An African proverb said, when the axe came into the woods, the trees said, "Ooh, but the handle is one of us." Well, and you can't chop anything down without the handle. So we have to be diligent to make certain that even those who are African American, even those who are Latina, they represent our interests. And if they don't, you vote them out.
Man, that was so, so powerful. Why have we seen this surge of disenfranchisement of people wanting to vote? I remember when you didn't even have to show an ID. You know, when I first, you know, registered to vote when I was 18, I didn't even have to show that. You just, you show up to your polling place, be it, you know, the church, a school, wherever, and you cast your ballot. And now all of a sudden, folks have got to jump through hoops and ropes and obstacles just to cast their ballot. What is that all about, well, in you all's opinion?
I can be less
diplomatic
in that regards. I think it's pretty, the numbers have all shown that this has been really a big push from the right, very right wing conservative movement of trying to claim voter fraud when in actuality it's virtually non-existent. I think they've done the numbers. I think in Texas over in the last 10 years, I think out of 65 million votes cast, there's been like
two
cases that have actually would have qualified for this type of fraud that they're trying to protect. So 2 out of 65 million is such, I mean, I have an engineering background. So, I mean, the numbers are just so infinitesimal. That's about as close you're going to get to zero. In some states, it actually is zero. I think Pennsylvania, where there, it was another state where there was a case, and they had zero cases. So it's, you're talking about, and I think nationwide, it's less than 100. We're talking about less than 100 out of over a billion votes cast. So we're talking very, very, very infinitesimal levels of the fraud that this is intended to protect against. But what we do know on the other side of that is that it includes a lot of minorities, a lot of elderly, a lot of disenfranchised people who are typically disenfranchised, minorities, elderly, and people who will most likely vote more left wing, I guess, or Democratic, more likely, more likely to vote Democratic, and it's that has been the push in that regards, and that has been There has been no real justification other than saying there was fraud, which doesn't really exist. But we know that, I think the numbers are nationwide. It's almost like one out of every four African Americans don't have a government issued ID, mm-hmm. which means that means one out of four African Americans are not able to vote in the upcoming election in Texas, at least. And that's, you know, when these races are extremely tight, that's enough to make the difference. Yeah. I mean, especially in places like Harris County, which tends to be more purple than blue or red mm-hmm. on a lot of years, a lot of elections, that is enough to disenfranchise mm-hmm. enough people that it can swing a particular way. Harris County,
absolutely.
Counties like this, where it's not a solid blue or red. It can swing
right. either
swing
way.
A vote, yeah.
And mm-hmm. this is the same strategy, just a different face on it, that we experienced at, you know, just a few decades ago with the poll taxes that were assessed only against the African Americans to keep them from voting. The poll tests mm-hmm. where they would ask an African American voter, how many teeth does a horse have? Or just ridiculous questions. How many bubbles are in this bottle of soap? Just ridiculous questions that they couldn't
You're
answer.
Kidding me.
No. There's history true. That there were poll tests and just ridiculous questions that they found to be very humorous to keep African Americans from voting. And as you will see, we have made some strides. We're at a day now where we have the most African-American and Latina and other minority elected officials in the history of our nation.
Yes.
And so the rollback to re-disenfranchise these people is driven by the fear, that conversation, that dialogue that we've heard over the years, that well, soon the whites will not be the majority, they will be the minority, where they're not going to just sit tight and hear that
right.
statistic mm-hmm. because there it could be said that back during slavery time there were more slaves than there were whites, but we were
right.
oppressed and in enslavement, so they weren't in fear of our numbers
mm-hmm.
That is why this oppression of fear, shooting African-American males in the street, putting that cloud of fear over the African-American community is to kind of put you back into a mental enslavement, if not a physical one.
Yes,
so
indeed.
That even if you have the majority in terms of your numbers, you are gravely disenfranchised and have almost no power. So that's why there is a move to try and deter people from voting so that we don't have diversity mm-hmm. in elected office. And when you have diversity in elected office, you get diversity in the appointment of the offices as mm-hmm. well. You have a situation where, like in Ferguson, where Michael Brown was just horrifically mowed down and
he was
just
murdered.
Killed in the street. He was murdered. Mm-hmm. Now we have close to 70%
and stayed in the street for 4 hours like a dog.
4 hours like a dog. And they are doing that. That is a concerted, planned, strategic effort. This is not coincidence, people. We are in dangerous mm-hmm. times. And we've got to rise up, even if we're not satisfied with those who are in elected office. You choose the lesser of the evils and you keep
and you
getting
keep
progressively
right.
to what's better. Choose the better dressed devil now
mm-hmm.
and then just work your way towards an angel. But don't stay away from the polls.
Oh,
now in Ferguson, that is almost 70% African American.
Right.
But there is no voter mobilization and empowerment. So you almost have a plantation situation
mm-hmm.
where the majority are totally mm-hmm. unrepresented.
Right.
Those people, I started writing people on the national level and everything moments after I heard that Michael Brown had been killed in the street. I want voter registration. Take that mayor's seat
mm-hmm.
because the mayor appoints the police chief.
Yeah.
The mayor
mm-hmm.
should be gone. The police chief should be gone. The DA should be gone. They have the numbers to take those offices. Make sure that they are the majority on city council, etc. We need to do the same thing in cities across this nation
yeah.
and get people who, regardless of the color of their skin, the content of their character
yes.
recognizes the humanity in all people. And by the same token, when I said that we have more African-American elected officials than before, then why are we in the same position or moving backwards?
That's right.
We've got to demand accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's voters who are actively voting who can demand accountability from those who are presently elected. We should not have a situation in Houston where anyone can return to Congress but only had 10% of their district to turn out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need maybe 10% to stay at home. not 10% who showed up.
Yeah.
We need to have 90 to 100% voter turnout. That means that we will be respectfully, but assertively, asking our elected officials, take that money that they have in their campaign coffers, hire people in from among your constituents to work your district, take ownership of their own communities. These people are unemployed. Don't just say we supported President Obama's initiative for more jobs. Create more jobs in your district. Mm-hmm. Take those people who are unemployed and put them to work to make sure that every eligible person in your district is registered, educated, and mobilized to the polls. That way, even if it's only a campaign for 4 months, that's four fewer months that year that that person was unemployed and without any kind of salary. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We could take over Houston. There is no reason why Houston should not have 90 to 100% of eligible voters showing up at the polls. Our nation is better served when our democracy is working. And democracy everybody. Only works when the people are empowered and voting.
Absolutely. What about one who is listening and they say, you know, I don't know my polling place or my precinct. And if I show up to Friendship Baptist Church, but I'm really supposed to vote at, you know, Ellis Elementary, what should one do and steps that they should take to get that correct?
Well, voting early is a good thing because when you vote early, you can vote at any polling location in the county as long as it's in your county. So and there's what, like 30
of the sites.
30 or so during the county election. So it's whatever's close to your job, to your house, go vote
at
so
the grocery store.
At the grocery store, exactly. I know they're all over the county, so I would say go vote early. Plus, you don't have to wait in as many lines when you go as early. Because
they're trying to kill that too. Because just in my home state of Ohio, I saw that the Supreme Court, you know, shot down, you know,
early voting.
Exactly. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And
that still is a fight here. We have got to keep early voting, and we've got to keep those weekends, the Saturdays and the Sundays, so that people who are making minimum wage, they can't miss any days and risk getting fired or have anything diminish their salary. So we need to keep fighting for early voting. Early voting this year starts on October 20th, and it goes through the 31st, I believe. Yes, early voting is from October 20th to October 31st. And I know that Fiesta over on Kirby and OST is one of the main places where people can do their grocery shopping and early vote. And as Danny said, you're not tied to your specific poll, because another thing that's been a barrier for people is the clerk's office will put out the list of polling places, and then sometimes at the last minute, those polling places are changed. And so people will show up where they were told to vote, and then you go and they say, well, you need to go to another site. Now, what we are pleading with people to do is, number one, if you have computer access, go on the site. Let's see, what is the name of that site? HarrisVotes.org, www.harrisvotes.org. And you can see the sample ballot so that you have some advance notice as to all that you're going to have to read through on the ballot. But you can also find your polling place there. And then if you have that computer access, try to check that now. And then if you don't get to early voting, you've got to go to your specific poll, then I'm asking you to check it again the day before election on that website. If you don't have computer access, and we're asking you to call the clerk's office and try to get help, that you can tell them your address, et cetera, and they will tell you where your polling place is to be. I'm asking churches to help their elderly not only get to the polls, but know where they're supposed to go to vote, using their vans, buses, et cetera. Maybe turn it into an event, you know, from the pews to the polls. And for young people, for the young people, before you meet at happy hour, you know, before you get that drink and that champagne toast, you know, ride by one of those early voting sites and then celebrate the fact that you have been an active voter. Do something fun with it.
Right. To let me back up to what you said about people showing up to the polling place and then they say like, oh, no, you know, you're supposed to be here. Isn't that illegal? I mean, can they do that?
Well, Texas, that was part of now the Shelby decision. For those who aren't familiar, who didn't keep up with the U.S. Supreme Court deciding the Shelby County decision last year, that part of the Voting Rights Act, the formula, basically they took out a part of the Voting Rights Act. And Texas used to be on the preclearance list. So before Texas would do anything with regards to voting, Texas and a number of other southern states had a history of discrimination. They would have to get all these things pre-cleared. The issue with that provision being gone, now Texas is not on that list anymore. That's how we ended up. Matter of fact, the voter ID that we have in effect now was originally struck down by the Department of Justice as being discriminatory. And as soon as the Shelby County decision was made, Texas said within 24 hours, that's going back in effect. So they basically put the voter ID back in effect after that decision was made. So that's why the Shelby County decision has been critical, especially to states like Texas. So, yes, a lot of places, especially a place like Texas that has a history of disenfranchising minorities, it should be oversaw. There should be some oversight to it. But as of now, while Congress is trying to get together a new formula for for states to get preclearance on, in the meantime, where we are now, that is not in effect right now. So that is why it is very crucial for you to go out to vote to make sure that we have people in office.
And I want to say to the people out there, you know, you got to get out to vote. With everything that is going on, you don't like what's going on in your particular district, in your city, county, state, wherever. You got to get out and vote. And then you don't have the right to complain if you don't let your voice be heard. And that's kind of a problem with us.
Right.
And so we need to correct that.
And I'll say that, you know, I don't know if you keep up with a lot of cases, but a lot of high profile cases, I think we have it even locally. If you ever notice, if you ever look at a pool in Harris County and you realize sometimes you will still see all white juries. And Harris County is a county that is 3/4 minority. So if you see an all white jury in Harris County, you already know what's going on around the rest of the state. So it is absolutely imperative that you get out and vote, because, I mean, for those of us who practice in the law, there's nothing worse than getting and telling your client, well, you know, that's supposed to be a jury of your peers, but they look over and don't see anybody that looks anything like them at all. Right. So it is, if nothing else, especially in statistically speaking, you should, most of us have somebody in our family that has been through that process. Mm-hmm. So for those of us in the African-American community, we've had somebody to go through that process so everything that has been involved in that process, from the DA that was elected or the DA's office that the head person is elected, and their policies are based on that, through the jury to the laws in place. All of these are affected by people not voting. And most people, it seems like, and especially in the African-American community, I'm going to go ahead and be a little more general, but a lot of us, it seems like, oh, we'll go vote for Obama. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Obama's not on the ticket, we get a little more lax. Like, well, we're not voting for the president right now. So I remember somebody said, and I thought it was the most, somebody who was running for office made the best point, saying that you will probably never meet Barack Obama, but you are way more likely to be in front of a judge, whether it be just even for a simple traffic ticket,
right?
Whether it be for a case if you get sued, whether you happen to you or a family member happens to end up in the criminal justice system, it is a very high probability that you will end up in front of that, or even meet that person in the street, or have somebody affected by that. So that is far more likely, and that decision affects your life directly,
right?
Not a federal policy that will, you know, eventually carry over, and you'll see the result of some years later. This is something that affects you immediately. So it is imperative that you get out there and make sure that you vote.
Even on the federal level, I mean, I have to remind people, like, you know, the people in the House of Representatives and in your state, be it a state senator or whatever, they work for you.
Absolutely.
Right.
They work for us.
Absolutely.
So,
or should.
You know, or should. Yeah, they're supposed to, or should, because, as I say, there's a bought, that Congress is bought. Right. Sorry, I said it, and I'm going to continue to say it.
They're not going
to
hear your complaints. They're not going to address your concerns if they're not afraid of you. And they're not afraid of you, and you can't hold them accountable if you're not voting. And believe you me, they look at how many people are actually turning out to vote, and that will determine a lot of their conduct and their behavior. And I was just at the Congressional Black Caucus this last weekend, and I was saddened to see how many of our congresspersons literally hobbled across the stage as they were being introduced, hobbled. And I'm wondering, where are our younger people who are ready in the wings, being prepared to run for office? We don't want to be caught in a lurch when somebody's removed from office for some kind of corruption,
right,
or they die,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, and then all of a sudden we're scrambling to find young people who can take up that mantle so that we don't have any gaps in representation. Mm-hmm. We have got to register and vote. And that's why I'm also pleading with people that if you do show up at the polls and they say, oh, it was changed, and now you have to go three blocks, five blocks, I'm pleading with you to go through whatever inconvenience that is to go and vote. And I'm pleading with you not only to register and vote in these elections so that we can take over the juries and so that our Black people can get a fair chance in the courts. Take over the grand jury so that when a rogue police officer shoots someone down in the street, he is not no billed. Mm-hmm. I want you to register and vote so that whoever's elected as mayor, who's ever on council, mm-hmm, whoever's in the DA's office, understand that there is a mobilized electorate. And if you don't represent people properly, you will be taken to task. You will be voted out. Mm-hmm. And it's because there's such a low voter turnout that I say we no longer have justice. Mm. We have privileged justice,
yes,
which is corrupt justice.
Mm-hmm.
And we have injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But we have got to turn out to reestablish justice.
Yes.
That's not existing right now. So that's why I'm pleading with people to register, to encourage, and make sure everybody in your household who's eligible to vote has registered to vote. Those who are 17 years and 10 months can register to vote.
Okay.
And I believe, especially in the charter schools where we have control, let citizenship courses include asking the parents for permission to give their children a voter registration application,
mm-hmm,
that we should begin to look at people, and part of their 18th birthday celebration is that voter registration card.
Yeah.
And I'm also pleading with people, and that's why I thank you for your time today. I'm pleading with people to show up and vote,
yeah,
for the boards of community-based organizations who are supposed to be working on your behalf from that social and community standpoint. They have elections for who the board is, who the president is, and those organizations are supposed to be working out in the community to register you, educate and inspire you, mobilize you, and protect your right to vote. For those who have any kind of questionable experience with this election, there are numbers that you can call and report it. There are lawyers who are standing on the sidelines waiting to hear whether you were mistreated at the polls. We want that reported. Then we want to have community hearings, and those organizations should be leading town hall meetings to talk about what were the experiences of the people at the polls. And if they were mistreated, if there was disenfranchisement, then we need to file some lawsuits. And we want those community-based organizations to take up that charge and not be quiet,
mm-hmm,
and almost non-existent. You should be active around the calendar year, around the clock, to make certain that our voters are empowered and mobilized.
And what a great note to end on. Tomorrow, the deadline to register to vote. There is no extension for registering to vote.
It's October 6th.
October 6th.
So make sure you get your voter registration cards in. If you haven't done them already, make sure you get them in. So you are on the ballot, so you can get out there and get on the ballot. And if you need to, and if you happen to be disabled or out of town during the election or an early election, you can actually vote by mail as well. So, mm-hmm, if you're over 65 or if you have 65 or older, if you happen to be either really pregnant, where you can't, you know, some people are on bed rest towards the end. if you or disabled, yeah, you can also register. You can also vote by mail as well, and that does not require photo ID. So for those who are disabled or have a hard time getting to the poll, those are things to consider as well.
And absolutely, you must request that application to vote by mail by October 24th.
Yeah. Okay.
Request that application by that time, and I think the last day for them to receive your vote is by 7 p.m. on November 4th.
Right. Okay. Thank you all so much. I could do the whole hour. I mean, because there's so much that we could cover here. Mm-hmm. But the importance: get out, register to vote tomorrow. If you already registered to vote, take advantage of early voting October 20th through the 31st. Mm-hmm. And let's rock the vote.
Yes.
Attorney Danny Norris, Ms. Carol Douglas, thank you all so much for coming through.
Appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate
you
all. No, thank you.
And thanks to everyone in the listening audience.
Absolutely. You are listening to Access Houston on 97.9 The Box.